Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Brian Lanny. He is the founder and editor of the JuniorStockReview.com website. And I have to say, Brian, you have come onto the forefront from a couple of our other guests and in terms of our audience's opinion of the way you analyze the gold sector and, more importantly, the gold stocks. Before we get into some of the stocks, let's just quickly talk about this pop we're seeing in gold now trading at a 6-year high. Ever since it broke that resistance level right around 1375, it's been a very strong move, and it is continuing even now into more overbought territory. What's your general takeaway from this move that we are seeing in gold?
I think it's great. It's 1400 seems to be a key level. Like you said, it's a 6-year high. We haven't seen it since 2013. But what I think is more interesting is if you go back to 2010, right at the end of the year, the gold price went over 1400. And as most people will know, about 8 months later, gold hit its high around over 1900. So there does seem to be some past history in this being an important level. But then again, I don't put too much stock into trying to guess where the metal price is headed.
Fair. I think that that's, especially when you're diving into some of the stocks, important because you don't want to get too aggressive too quickly. But in terms of this move now and validating this move by closing last week at it, and now the close at the end of this week is going to be crucial. How does that change, or does it change at all, the stocks that you are buying or actually get you buying some more stocks?
For me, it doesn't change much. I really try to remain agnostic to metal price movements. First and foremost, I think when you invest in the junior resource sector, and I know I've said this before, but it's a people business, and you're going to be much more affected by the people running the company than you are that metal price. So what I would say is I try to keep my process constant, and while I would like to see strong metal prices, it doesn't play a key role into how I look at the fundamentals of a junior resource company.
So when you are looking into these fundamentals, I know from our past conversations that your background as an engineer, you like diving into some projects that are a little bit more advanced, more than just one or two drill holes on it. You do like looking at some of the projects that have some economic studies around it. What is kind of your sweet spot right now? Where do you find the value in some stocks?
I'm not really sure that I have a necessarily a sweet spot. For me, it's more about, listening to the story and then picking out the things that I think will be strengths for the company. Whether it be the people, I've definitely bought companies because I really like the people and I like their history in the sector. But then, like you said, I have looked at some of the more advanced projects and picked out where I think, some value can be added. And given where the company is headed, there's a clear path towards that valuation increasing. And, you need those catalysts for the market to recognize it. And I try to take those opportunities when they're there.
Now, what does that mean when it comes to good teams, but in different jurisdictions? Are you selective right now in terms of jurisdictions?
I'm pretty open to jurisdiction. I do think in the right scenario, going to some of the riskier jurisdictions can actually work in your favor, because the probability of success, especially if it's an exploration company, can definitely favor the investor. But to me, the bottom line is I want to make money. And as long as I can sort out what risk that money making is going to come and I'm comfortable with it, then I'm willing to go about just about anywhere.
So then how do you balance out that risk then if you are diving down into some of the, let's say, exploration plays that only right now have a sniff of their resource? If they don't have much in terms of a solid resource, isn't that bringing on a lot of risk?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's hard to necessarily maybe quantify. For me, I need to see that potential in the company and what it could be for me to take that risk. Like, for example, I remember we spoke earlier about a company in Ecuador, and this particular company, I think the exploration potential is quite high, as right now on the property, all that's there is artisanal miners. This massive land package hasn't been touched by modern exploration, and the odds of finding copper gold porphyry or something of this with size is actually pretty good in terms of if you compare this to like some of the safer jurisdictions, maybe BC, British Columbia. So, you know, it's hard to necessarily quantify what that, you know, upside potential may be. But when you have these companies trading at, you know, half the valuations or a quarter of the valuations of some of the exploration companies in the good jurisdictions, in some cases, I think that's, you know, that's a good enough buffer given the risk that, you know, investing in Ecuador has to make me an investor.
Okay, we did talk about a couple of those companies, but can we also discuss too the balance of what resources they have? Right now it's gold that is running, silver is still generally lagging, the base metals really doing nothing. They all have a different story as to why they're running. Any preference on the actual metals?
No preference for me. Again, when it comes to investing in the companies, it's completely based off that price to value proposition. So no, I'm agnostic to the type of metal.
Okay. Now, one other thing that you mentioned was the potential of finding, let's say, a copper gold porphyry. Porphyry deposits, I would argue, have not been looked on as favorably during this sideways move in the metals as much as high grade, either veins or other deposits have been. Do you see that changing, or do you think this continues to be more a high grade, possibly less ounces, but not the same as a porphyry that is generally lower grade, but much or can be much larger?
You know what? I don't think it matters, because I think in the end it depends on the economics. Like if you've got, you know, let's say, you know, half a gram of gold with 0.4% copper and it's got size and it's shallow, I would say that you probably have something that's going to be pretty economic. And you can have the vice versa. You know, the high grade stuff can be quite small and maybe it's really deep and, you know, you're not going to get those same economics. So I think in the end, it just all depends. And it really is going to come down to, you know, all those different risk factors that, you know, come into alignment to say, okay, this is how economic this could be. And really for the analyst or for the investor, it's putting all those points together as you collect all that information, and, you know, taking a stab at what you think that valuation is going to be. And of course, being correct is going to be the ultimate payback.
Yes, it will be. And being correct can be difficult, but you know what? At least do that due diligence and make sure that it makes sense to you and it's not just being promoted to you. Can you share any companies right now that you are looking favorably upon?
Sure. So last week, around the time of the announcement of the bought deal, I actually took a position in Pure Gold. And for those that don't know, this is an oxygen capital company. There's a couple of reasons why I bought it. And I think first and foremost is I think it's one of those premier takeover candidates. Of course, the most obvious would be Newmont Goldcorp, who's got their Red Lake mine in that same vicinity in Northern Ontario. But there's a couple points. Another one being the initial capex. So Madison used to be a past producing mine, which is a big advantage when it comes to this economic study. And of course, this initial capex number, which is around $95 million to get this thing into production. The second to that, I like the sensitivity to the gold price. So this thing is profitable or economic at, you know, $1,200 gold. But when you ramp that up to $1,400, the NPV actually jumps by about $150 million, and the IRRs, after-tax IRRs, around 45%. So these are some really great numbers. You know, there aren't a ton of projects that have that nice valuation jump, given the relatively small gold price movement. And like the other things are, you know, there's room to expand the deposit, and then probably first and foremost, it's the people behind it. You know, Oxygen Capital is amongst those best people in the industry.
Yeah, they are. There's actually a couple stocks that look very attractive that are coming out of that Oxygen Capital office. But couple points that you touched on there, and again, circling back around to a company having some sort of an economic study around a project, being able to dive into those numbers, you mentioned just how much that NPV jumps as the gold price moves up. What sort of comparisons do you make when you see an NPV at a certain price and you look back to what the stock is trading at in terms of market cap?
So you want to look at that, or at least in my opinion, you want to look at that differential to what the market's valuing at compared to what it could potentially be worth at that current gold price. And, you know, right now, let's say for pure gold, I think their market cap's around 150 million. And with the after-tax at $1,400 gold, the after-tax NPV at a 5% discount is around 330 million. So it's being valued right now roughly at about half of its potential value. So for me, you know, that's actually not a huge differential, but I think the other points to why this is such a quality company comes back to that takeover candidate possibility, where you could see, especially given where the gold price may be headed, you could maybe see a ramp up in M&A. And that's kind of the hunch that I have, is that we might see over the next couple months the seniors coming into the market and making more of a splash.
Okay. Yeah, it is all about M&A activity for these explorers, because quite frankly, it's a long and tough road to get something into production. The quickest way to value for shareholders is some sort of that M&A. Plus, when you have a major pretty much right next door, that also helps that whole equation. But again, until a deal's done, it's hard to predict what price and when a current deal will be done. Hey, Brian, great chatting with you. It's always interesting hearing the way you're looking at the markets and even what you're getting into. Thanks for sharing that today.
Thanks for having me, Corey.